Thank you for the privilege of allowing me to share and speak into your life this morning. As Pastor Kerry shared, that's my prayer too, that's less of me and more of the Lord, because at the end of the day, I'm just a broken, wretched man, as Paul would say in the Word, but by the grace of God. I'm just going to share just for a couple of minutes about my story. Some have met me. I've had the privilege of being in church here for only about 6 months now. But I'll just share the reason for that. My story begins as a happy young kid, grew up in the suburbs, had the privilege of going to a primary school and local high school. I was blessed with then a chance to go to uni and became a phys ed teacher. That was back in the late 90s. This is where my life changed, sadly for the worse. Drinking, drugs, parties became a big part of my life over the next 10 years. And I found myself actually addicted to drugs and had a very messed up life. But what the enemy tried to use to destroy me, as it says in the Word in the Old Testament, God turned around and used for good. And my life was sent then on a journey to go down to Esperance. I had to get away from the city. And then I got the privilege of working in a drug and alcohol rehab down in Esperance, which is where I found my true freedom. And I was given the privilege of helping other men find freedom in Christ, which also led to me falling in love and then being married to my beautiful wife, Joanne, who Pastor Kerry just shared. We've had our third child, a baby girl, Rebecca, just a couple of weeks ago. So she's at home this morning with the kids. Thanks for those who have prayed for our times of need. Then God moved us back to Perth to have our first two babies, Caleb and Sarah. Then we went up to the Kimberleys. We had the privilege of working up in a little town called Halls Creek for 2 years. Working with the local people before returning to Perth at Christmas time, hence my privilege of being in the church just for a brief period of time. My wife was saved here. Many of you know my lovely beloved, and I am grateful for your support and prayers for her life, as I am for my life. And as Pastor Kerry said, I've got the privilege of being the chaplain down at Hills Darling Range, which has got a great links here at the church. I have the privilege of sharing today, but what the Lord's inviting me to share on is a really tough subject, and I really feel in my spirit that there is an opportunity for breakthrough, and I really encourage particularly the mature saints in Christ to really continue to pray through this. So today, we're going to go on a bit of a journey about the power of forgiveness, and we read in the Word that Jesus is our ultimate example about the power of forgiveness. Here we read about the Saviour, the King, Creator, and He, as many of us know, was hung on a cross. And He was hung on a cross for no good reason, other than, as we read through Scriptures, the desire of some of the religious Pharisees and etc. at that time. And not only that, but when He was hung on the cross, He had two people on either side of Him, two people that deserve to be there, as do I and as do we. Not casting judgment, that's based on the fact that we are sinners saved by grace, and out of that we become righteous. There's two men on either side that deserve to be there. One man said, "If you're the king, get us down from here, do the right thing." Another man said, "Hang on, buddy, don't you realise that we deserve to be here? He is the king, he deserves to be free, but remember me." And He is the ultimate example of forgiveness. Now, I'm talking about a topic that is deep in our spirit. And as I'm saying that word forgiveness now, there's people coming to your mind, there's situations coming to your mind in your own life that are painful. And that's why I say it is a privilege that I get to share here today, and I thank you for allowing me. And when God does things in our heart, when it's surgery, it is often can be challenging and even somewhat painful. But I have the privilege of also seeing some things in the spirit, and God showing me some things that even though there's a build-up of stuff, when that pressure is released, then that's where the breakthrough comes and the blessing and the healing comes. If you have your Word, I'm going to open up and read from Matthew chapter 18. It's going to be on the screens as well, because that's what it's all about. It's about reading in the Bible, and ultimately about what Jesus did, because at the end of the day, I don't have anything to offer anyone other than what God has shown and blessed me. So we're going to read from chapter 18 of Matthew's Gospel. Bear with me, it's a longer passage, but it's all about what God wants to do in us. So we're going to start from verse 21. Peter comes to Jesus and says, I'm reading from the New King James Version, and yours will obviously be similar if you're reading along, and that's what the screens have. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Which is a cracking question. How many times, Lord? Seriously, how many times do I have to forgive my such and such or my brother-in-law? And that's a reality for each one of us. You've done that in your life. You're doing it at the moment. How many times, Lord? How many times do I have to forgive? And that was Peter's question. And Peter walked with the Lord. He said, seven times, Lord, because that's a lot. Seven times is a lot when someone has harassed you and beat you down. Seven times to keep doing it is a lot. Sorry, son, says Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven times. And Jesus said, this is like the kingdom of heaven, verse 23. A certain king wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. And when they began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, my understanding is that's about several million dollars. At the end of the day, it's a debt that we aren't able to come up with. But that particular person wasn't able to pay. So his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. Thank you, Jesus. But that servant went out and found one of his other fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a pittance compared to what he owed. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, said, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he wouldn't. He threw him into the prison because he couldn't pay until he could pay his debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came to the told their master what had done. Then his master, after he called him in, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt that you owed because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? And his master was angry. And he delivered him to the torturers, to the tormentors, until he should pay all that was due. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brothers his trespasses. Now that sounds like an angry, and I'm just reading that passage again in my own spirit because I've read it several times and I'm thinking, that's heavy. What's up with that? But I won't try and interpret too much because the Holy Spirit does that for us. That last verse says, so my Father will also do to you, if each of you from his heart, not just here, from our heart, does not forgive our brother his trespasses. And it's interesting because the Lord gave us the perfect definition of a prayer, and it's the Lord's Prayer. And as you read through that, that God, would you supply our daily needs? God, would you meet we were and we honour God? We also read in it, forgive us our trespasses, which we want. Hands up, who wants our trespasses forgiven? Because at the end of the day, I'm rotten to the core, but that core has now been changed and renewed in Christ. Forgive us our trespasses, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I want that. Fine print, not really fine print, as we forgive those. Are we prepared to do that? And as you're hearing my voice today, you've got pictures, you've got people in your mind, and you're saying, maybe you're saying, you don't understand. And you're right, I don't. But God does. And God doesn't make allowances for what someone has or hasn't done. What he does do is he allows his Holy Spirit to be there and he allows people to come around us to help us. He doesn't just say, off you go, it's up to you, my child. But he wants to support us in that. And you're right, I don't know. But what I do know is the scriptures are clear. We're going to turn over to Luke chapter 7. We're going to read another example of how the Lord himself is training us, like we heard even our brother this morning, training us, equipping us for life. Luke 7, verse 40, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. So just a bit of background. Jesus was eating with Simon and some of the other disciples, and the lady comes in with a flask of oil. And Jesus answered and said to Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, go on, teacher, say. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, it's about a day's wage, they believe, a denarii, and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Thank you, Lord. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Verse 33 of chapter 7. Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you judge rightly. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet. She washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss me since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she has loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And to those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Bitterness and unforgiveness are like poison to our bodies. It's actually scientifically proven outside of the Christian context. It slowly decays and erodes our bodies through stress and disease, which I can personally testify to. I have teeth issues through, like I said, my past. And when stress and anxiety and anger comes on me, my gums, they begin to, or their nerves begin to radiate, and there's a definite correlation between my anger and my stress and my unforgiveness. There's a thing called heavy duty thing that high stress levels release steroids into your body. If you have high stress in your life, it will create disease in you. It's medically proven, and it's also scripturally backed up. It talks about it in the Psalms, etc. So if we choose to have unforgiveness is in us, and it is a choice. Unforgiveness is a choice. Hear me this morning. It's not an easy choice. Don't get me wrong. We heard a testimony from my brother this morning. Parents, and it may have even been occurred in people in this house this morning. There's been heinous things that have happened to people. And there's been other wrongs that have happened. There's been other things that have caused your heart to have unforgiveness. And rightfully so, if I may be at liberty to say that. But what this word of God that we all love, my understanding is, and cherish, tells us is that is not how God calls us to live. Unforgiveness, it was said to me once, is like having a hot coal in your hand. When someone does you wrong, you have a deep desire to want to wrong them back, to want to hurt them back. That's actually normal. God tells us and teaches us to do it in different... Well, it doesn't tell us to get revenge, he says it's his. It's like having a burning hot coal in your hand. And I have a desire to want to sling this hot coal into the person who has offended me, who has aggrieved me. But you know what's happening as I've got unforgiveness burning in my heart and I've got anger burning in my heart with this coal in my hand, that I am desperate to relate to that person because they have done me wrong. You know what's happening to me? It's burning me. It's destroying me. It's causing me pain. And how do you do that? How do you release a burning hot coal that is in your hand because you've been wronged, because you've been ripped off, because you've been abused? How do you do that? I don't know how you do that. You can't do that. But God can help you do that. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, pastors, leaders, prayer. But it has to be a choice, ladies and gentlemen. It has to come with a choice. You have to choose. And not only mentally choose, because that is a part of the journey. And maybe not just choose once and twice, because you can do it, and many in this house have done that and are doing that. How many times, Lord? How many times? We just got an email just the other day, a 100-year-old lady, friends of ours, Christian lady, and she was asked, what are the things do you think have got you to 100 years old, healthy, strong? She said, there's two things. The blessings of God that are on my life and not having any unforgiveness, which is interesting because I didn't know about that, obviously, when I was preparing the message, because it wasn't my message, it was God's message. Having no unforgiveness to anyone, 100 years old, her body is strong, and obviously her heart is blessed. I'm not going to speak for long this morning because it's not about me and it's about you. And you can hear the words of my voice and you can hear the prompting in your heart. And you've got free will. We've all got free will. You can make choices regarding that. I get blessed with some impressions sometime in my mind, and I shared with Pastor Kerry because I wasn't sure how appropriate it was to share. But he said, go ahead. And I feel it's for the church because it happened to me last week, I believe, here in church, and I had some ministry during the week for my own personal issues. And the image was a well, maybe as big as a stage, and maybe even this church. The well of life, fountain of life. And there was a congregation of people, just individual people, and they were about different stages away from the well. It's here. The well, the water was here. Please help me, Lord. Thank you, Father. And it was like, the well's here. The fountain of life is here. But people were at certain places, 10, 20, 30 yards away, just sort of standing or maybe just motioning in the, but that choosing not to come for different reasons, choosing not to come, missing out. And this isn't about condemnation. This is just about an image that God showed me, choosing not to come for different reasons. Obviously, it's free will, but missing out on the fountain. And I wonder whether that speaks to you today. And interestingly enough, I was speaking to someone very close to me and I said, well, that speaks to me actually. About busyness in life, about pressure, about family, about burdens and choosing not to come or the like. So I want to just share briefly a couple of things. It says in 2 Corinthians, if you just put it up on the screens, please, chapter 2, about unforgiveness. Chapter 2, 2 Corinthians 2:10. Paul talks about the fact that he was talking to the Corinth church. Now, who you forgive anything, I also forgive, says Paul. For if I indeed have forgiven anything, I've forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ as a church. This is the key, but lest Satan should take advantage of us, of you, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So I believe my interpretation is Paul saying forgive. And the reason why I forgive is because it's a device of Satan if you choose to be unforgiving. It is definitely a demonic device. And that's because it comes in pain, etc. You know, that's when offence comes. It comes through pain. It comes through disappointment. First, I want to address those of us here today. And as I said, I just continue to ask the saints to continue to pray, as we all are saints in Christ, but particularly the mature ones. For those of us here today who need to forgive yourself. Because if you can't forgive yourself, then you can't truly believe that God has forgiven you. So if you can't actually forgive yourself for perhaps a big past mistake, or a failure, or something that you wish you could change, which you can't, then you can't truly believe that God has forgiven you. And you can do it mentally, and that's a process, and that's a part, but if it's not deep down in your heart, then it won't be completely gone. And how do you do that? How do you forgive yourself when you've got such high standards, or you feel that it was your fault? And I don't know. But I do know that God does. And I do know if you seek him and ask him and love him, he will do it for you. He will help you do it. And you know what? It was, as I said, I had some ministry for my own personal needs. And the lady said, great woman of God, if you can't believe God's forgiven you, then you can't actually forgive others their debt because you think the Lord will want his money back, like the scripture says here. And it was an interesting interpretation about why the guy who owed millions didn't really think it was going to be a goer. So therefore, because he couldn't really believe that he was forgiven, then he was edgy, saying, well, I might need that money one day, so I need to get back. So if you can't believe God's forgiven you, which is a process, but it is true because he's a loving God who, as the songs have said and as the scriptures have already been said this morning, does forgive us, then it's difficult because you want to hang on to that. So you must release it. You must spell it out, and you must is a strong word. I encourage you to let the Holy Spirit dig it out. I'm going through a personal challenge at the moment. Pastor said, do I have a personal testimony? And I do. I've got a situation in my life where I feel aggrieved, and actually rightfully so, justifiably right, because this particular person is such A, B and C. And mentally, well done. Good on you, mate. You got it right, Jace. You're right. But that, forgive my French, is bull dust because it's not right. Because what it's doing is it's holding me in bondage. And it's not easy to do because that person deserves to be such and such A, B and C. But that's not for me to do. I am called to love. And why am I called to love? So that I receive the love of God. Why am I called to forgive? So that I can receive the forgiveness. Why am I called to show peace and grace and joy? So that I too can receive that. And I don't want to hype that up today. I don't want to go on about stuff because it isn't about me. I'm encouraged by the encouragement. But it's about you today. And we're all hearing my voice today. But I'll be blunt and say that some of you are choosing not to because of the pain. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to belittle you or put you down because the pain is real. It is painful. That person doesn't deserve my forgiveness. Secondly, I want to address those who need to forgive God. There's some of us that are here today who have, deep in your spirit, deep in your heart, a need to forgive your Heavenly Father for past hurts, perhaps. Perhaps past disappointments. Do you know that forgiveness is a supernatural thing? It isn't a natural thing. Yes, there's a natural process of mentally and practically, but it's a supernatural thing. And in God, we're blessed, ladies and gentlemen, because we are seated in heavenly places. We've got access to this beautiful privilege of the Holy Spirit being born again, which is the supernatural part. And it's interesting how it says in the scriptures that it's to a man's glory to overlook an offence, but that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it was interesting because as I was just praying this morning, you may feel, God said to say this, you may feel like You've been 12 rounds, you've been 10 rounds, you've been 12 rounds. It is a fight. You've been aggrieved, you've been hurt. But God says to you this morning, if this is your situation, that I am there. I am here. I am there. I'm in that with you. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know how that feels for you. But God wants me to encourage you. That when you've been 12 rounds, when you've continued to try and forgive and trying to make up, and God says, I'm there. I'm there for you. And I want to see you through it. And I said, what does that mean, Lord? And God's saying, keep going. I'm there. Keep going. I'm there for you. And there's those of us who need to forgive someone else, whoever that may be in your situation. And as we read through the last scripture this morning, you have an opportunity to do some business with God. And it is. It's heavy-duty business. It's surgery. It's painful. Let's face it, who likes to have, you know, anaesthetic at the hospital and big needles and do procedures? We don't, generally. But without that, then the healing, the recovery, the operation you know, is put off perhaps. So you have an opportunity to do business this morning as we read through this last scripture. We're going to read through Corinthians. We're going to have a look at the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll just read. And I really encourage you to have got your own Bibles there, if you've got your own Bibles or phones. Whoa, that was loud. Sorry, guys. About the love chapter, what I felt, because I got it on my wall in my office, I'm blessed to have that poster, is something stood out for me, a certain thing, and that's for me. I just really want something to stand out for you, because it describes several things that love does or doesn't do. And I want you to own it for yourself, because for me, I'll share it, it says, keeps no record of wrongs. That's what sticks to me, and that's what motivates me. And I hope in your personal life, you too can grab a scripture, because we need that. We need that encouragement. Love suffers long and is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. It's not rude. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil, doesn't rejoice in sin, but it rejoices in the truth. Dare I say, it rejoices in freedom. It bears all things, does love, which only comes, true love only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. It believes all things, and gosh, that can only come by the power of the Holy Spirit. It hopes all things. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, it can endure all things. God's love will never fail. And God doesn't expect us to love just humanly, because we can't forgive someone who's grieved us humanly. He empowers us with his Holy Spirit to allow that love to come through. And God says that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, and Pastor shared from the same book of the Bible in Ephesians. Ephesians is a cracking book to have a read through. It's just filled with love and encouragement and promises and blessings. So if you're struggling with something to read. And also in the Psalms. For some of us, Bible reading, daily reading is a challenge. But it's interesting because Psalms and Proverbs particularly have 30. Psalms, obviously, a lot more. But you can read the psalm for the day. What's today's date? 26. What should I read today? Why not? Psalm 26. Oh, tomorrow's busy, missed that. Tuesday. What's the date today? Oh, it's 28th. I can read. And as you do that, as you read the psalms daily, the proverbs daily, perhaps the book of Ephesians, you'll be encouraged and you'll be blessed. It talks about in the scriptures, Psalm 32, and I encourage you to read Psalm 32 if you get a chance when you get home. It talks about how King David said, how happy and filled are those whose rebellion is forgiven, thank you Jesus, and whose sin is covered by the blood, and how blessed and relieved are those who've confessed that to God, for he wipes their slate clean. He removes hypocrisy from our hearts. But he says, before I confess my sins, and I kept it all inside, it devastated my life. It devastated my inner life, causing my life to be filled with frustration, anguish and misery. The pain never let up, King David says. For your hand of conviction, the drawing of the Holy Spirit was heavy on him. And David says, my strength was sapped. I just felt like shriveling up. But then I finally admitted, he goes on to say, my sins. Perhaps in your case, forgiveness. Refusing to hide it any longer. So I said, my living God, my heavenly Father, I openly acknowledge my actions, and you forgave me. And at once my guilt was washed away, and all my pain disappeared. And it goes on to say, I felt light. And for some of us today, we're heavy, and we're hurting, and maybe even clouded over. And perhaps that's got something to do with unforgiveness. And you don't have to come up to the front, but what the front does is that's actually a It's a step, it's a declaration, it's sometimes a little bit shame, and those sort of things. But that's okay. You don't have to come up the front. The anointing is everywhere. The Holy Spirit's everywhere. But you have an opportunity to come up to the front if in your life you feel you need to forgive yourself, you need to forgive God, or perhaps you need to forgive another person. Because forgiveness, like the Bible says, is where blessings come from. And unforgiveness, well, I think we're working out where that takes us. So I thank you for the privilege of sharing this morning. It's been my privilege, and I felt in the back room there, you know, it's a heavy topic, and God wants to do some surgery with you. God wants to do some healing with you. And I encourage you to continue to do that with your Lord and Saviour as the days go on. How many times, Lord? Peter said, how many times?